just celebrate how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, our Almighty God, our Prince of Peace, Almighty King. Lord, what hope that gives us when we meet together with all the problems of life that we face, that you have not abandoned us, but Lord, you have left us your word, the very presence of your spirit, the very power of prayer. And Lord, it's with these things in mind that we open your word now to learn more about that, to commit ourselves to those things. Because, Lord, we want so much to please you, to be your people, and to know you more. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose a few things are more difficult than it is for a young man to pick up the telephone receiver and to try to call a girl for the first time to ask out for a date. Can you think of anything more difficult? I mean, guys, can you believe how miserable the girls make us feel when we have to do that? You recall, all of you men recall how it feels. Your palms are all sweaty, and you're so nervous. You pick up the phone, you dial the number, you hang up, you do that two or three times, and you think, oh, man, I wish I had some reason to believe that this girl was going to say yes. You know, if I knew she was going to say yes, oh, I'd be bold. I mean, I'd be so cocky, I'd call her up. No problem. But if I just had some reason to believe that she's going to say yes, otherwise, I'm scared to death. No confidence at all. You know, when I first asked Kathy out for the first time, she turned me down. And broke my heart. I recovered, though. She turned me down. I called her up, asked her to go to a concert with me, and she was... her and her roommates were hosting a party the particular night of the concert, so she turned me down. Now, I should have taken somewhat of a clue from the fact that I didn't know anything about the party that she was hosting. Maybe she wasn't too interested, but I persevered, kept asking. But before I asked her the second time, I determined to become a better requester, to find out a little bit more about this dating deal. I wanted to increase my odds, to increase the probability of a positive answer this time. So I learned that there were two necessary things to get a positive response. I needed inside information, and I needed an inside connection. Now, I went about pursuing both of these things. First, some inside information. Last time, I blew it because I didn't know her plans. So this time, I inquired if the girl was going to be available, if there was nothing going on the particular night that I wanted to ask her out. I tried to find out what places does she like to go, what kind of activities would, you know, interest her, so I could, you know, craft this request in such a way that the chances of a positive response would be that much higher. Then, after getting necessary inside information, I looked into inside connection. Just so happened that Kathy's roommate was dating my roommate in college, and that was very convenient. And since I saw this girl, this roommate of Kathy, quite often, I was able to inquire into my chances, so to speak, and asked her to put in an influential word on my behalf. And after I had arranged all of this, felt like things were pretty good. My confidence was built up. I thought, you know, there's a chance. I feel good now. I feel like she's going to say yes. Sure enough, I asked her out on a date, and she said yes. The first in a long series of yeses that ended with an eventual I do. That's happy ending. Isn't that good? Thank you. Of course, our purpose this morning is not to talk about how to become a better dater, but a better prayer. You see, there is a lot of parallels between asking requests from our Heavenly Father. Because don't you really desire to have real confidence when you pray? Don't you really want the certainty that God wants us to have whenever we ask requests from Him? You know, He states very clearly that He wants us to pray with confidence. And I would like to suggest to you that we really can pray with confidence if we have inside information and an inside connection. And in fact, that's what we do have. That's what we're going to find this morning. If you'll open with me, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We're going to find today that we can pray very confidently because we can have inside information and an inside connection. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, before I read this verse, many of you will recognize this is a passage we looked at last week when Tim first addressed how we can have answers to prayer. And we found that the key to having answers to prayer is praying according to the will of God. And last week, we found that praying according to the will of God involves both the prayer, the petitioner, the person, and it involves the prayer itself, the content of the prayer, what is said. And so last week, Tim talked about the first aspect, how praying according to the will of God involves the person, that he prays from a pure heart, that he prays from good relationships, and that he prays from pure motives. But this week, we want to concentrate on the content of the prayer itself. We want to ask, what does it mean to pray according to the will of God? Wouldn't you like to know that? I mean, we have an open promise that if we pray according to the will of God, that He will do it. He'll answer our request. But what is it to pray according to the will of God? That's what we want to ask. Let's look again at the promise John gives us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him. So there it is, the promise that we can pray confidently if we pray according to God's will. So the question before us, what is God's will? How do we know when we're praying according to God's will? I'd like to show you in three different ways that the Word of God contains the will of God. We can know that we're praying according to the will of God when we pray in agreement with the Word of God. One area from the Word of God that we can pray in agreement with is God's purposes that He has revealed in the Bible. God has revealed His purposes, what He wants for my life and for your life and for the world. What is He doing in the world? He's very clear on that matter. We can name, for example, three very clear purposes that God has for all of us. First, we know that God wants for us our salvation. He wants us all to come to know Christ as our Savior. In fact, He declares at least twice that His real desire is that no man perish, but that all might come to know Christ in saving faith. That's God's desire for each one of us. When we pray for a family member and for a loved one, when we pray for anyone that they would come to know Christ, come to a point of saving faith in Christ, that is praying according to the will of God, because that's in great agreement with God's desire for the world. We know also in terms of God's purposes that He wants not only our salvation, but our sanctification, that day-by-day process of growing more and more like Christ, that day-to-day obedience, that move toward maturity, that working out the holiness of God in our own lives, that God wants that as well for us. We know that He wants us to be conformed, or He wants us to pray according to the principles given to us in the Word of God. For example, a principle might be, well, let's just look at one, for example. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, there's a principle found in Hebrews chapter 12 which says this, that God may lovingly discipline His children in order to restore them to righteousness. You know that when we as believers occasionally stray away and continue straying in real rebellion, that over a period of time, God desperately wants for us to restore us to righteousness. And sometimes he will lovingly discipline us, just like our earthly father will lovingly discipline us as children. And that's what that's what the writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews chapter 12. For he says in verse 10, "For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." You see, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. What does God want for your life and my life as believers? He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to pursue holiness. And many times he will allow suffering in our life, or he will use hardship to drive us to him. But it's interesting, isn't it, when we talk to people who are experiencing hardship? Isn't it your first desire? Isn't it your first response to want to try to pray for their relief? That God might relieve their hardship? That God might change their circumstances for the better? When in reality, perhaps a better way to pray would be that God would teach them all that he wants to teach them during that time. That they might respond with a teachable heart that says, "God, what do you want in my life? What areas do you want me to give attention to?" You see, the very principles from God's word help us to pray according to God's will. Not only God's principles, not only his purposes, but God's promises contained in the word God help us to pray according to the will of God. What are some promises in the Bible? How does that help you pray according to the will of God? For example, if you were standing at the graveside of a loved one, a person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, there's great promise in the Word of God. That at that moment, this departed one is in the very presence of Christ. And there's great comfort in that fact. And the Word of God informs us how to pray and how to grieve properly. We can do so according to the will of God. When you are burdened with guilt because you've sinned and you've confessed your sin, but Satan, that great accuser, will not let you forgive yourself. And he continues to hound you. And he continues to heap up guilt and all the negative feelings associated with that. You can pray according to the will of God, because he gives you great promises in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that very promise gives you the needed confidence base to pray for forgiveness and to believe God that you're forgiven. That's how the Word of God lets you know that you're praying according to the will of God. We can pray with confidence by appealing to the Scriptures, God's purposes, his promises, his principles, his day-to-day truths for living. We can also pray with confidence because of God's personality that we find in the Bible. See, the Bible tells us what God is like. He tells us that he's a merciful God, a loving God, a compassionate God, a gracious God. But he's a God who will exercise justice too. He's a God that will punish those who have forsaken him, who have never come to the point in trusting Christ as their Savior. And when you read in the newspaper about a child who's been abused, when you read about a person who's committed heinous crimes and then is let go 6 months later, and everything inside of you cries for justice, and when you read about our Savior, that he is going to judge, that he's going to make all things right in the end, there's great comfort because we know our Father. You know, I had a good friend this week who was praying for a new job. And that's a prayer request that many of us may share in this room. And when we were talking, he was telling me why he was asking for a new job. And I expected him to say, well, he really needed more cash. He had accumulated some debt and he needed relief there. That maybe the relationships on the job were bad. That he was discontent with his boss. But in this situation, it was different. The reason why he wanted a new job was because God had given him such a desire to work in the lives of a number of people, that God had opened the door for real ministry in the lives of people. But he was so strapped for time, working some 55 hours. And this new job promised only 40 hours. And he just couldn't wait for the extra time to give to ministry. You see, God's purposes for us inform us that he not only wants us to grow, but wants us to serve him, to be involved in the lives of people, to invest our time and our resources and our energy in the lives of people. This friend of mine was praying according to the will of God. And with great confidence, he could pray that God might give him a different job to allow him to do that. That's praying according to the purposes of God. You know, in summary to this first point, what we're really saying is that the more we know God, the more we know the heart of God, the more we can pray confidently about, with our request. You know, it's amazing to me that when Jake and Ben were much smaller, 3 and 4 years old, one thing I like to do, used to like to do, still do, though happy to know, is like to just get them in the car, just because I love them so much, let's just go down to some convenience store, just let them walk in, look at the candy shelves there, and just pick out a piece of candy, because, I don't know, I'm spoiling your rotten, but, you know, I just because I love you, I just want to do this for you. And when they were very small, they would walk into this store, and they'd look at these shelves, and because they were so small, all they would see is this nickel and dime, you know, 1 cent pieces of candy on the bottom. You know how they have it arranged? Because I know y'all never visit the candy shelves. But in case you haven't visited in a while, they have them arranged, so I'm told, the 5 cent pieces on the bottom down there. And because they were so small, that's all they would see. But if they only knew the heart of their father, that he was so anxious to give them great things, I would have had to let them have any piece of candy on the shelf. But that's all they saw. And they didn't know the heart of the father. You see, that's the way God is. If we just knew his heart more, if we just knew him better, we would be able to ask great things with great confidence. I like what Nancy Spiegelberg wrote in Decision Magazine. She said, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain, in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known you better, I'd have come running with a bucket." You see, if we knew God any better, we could ask great mighty things from him, and he would do them. And we could ask with great confidence. But we have got to know God. We have got to pray our requests bathed with Scripture, because that's where we find the heart of God, his desires for our lives and for the world and what he's doing in the world. And when we pray according to Scripture, we can pray with great confidence. You want to become a great prayer? You want to become a more effective prayer? You pray with inside information, the Word of God. Now, there's another way we can become a great prayer. And that is when we pray with our inside connection. Turn with me, please, to, well, turn first to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We would like to tackle the question, what in the world does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Don't you hear that over and over and over again? Every time we pray, you hear those famous 3 or 4 words tacked on the end. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. What does that mean? We know it's not some kind of magic formula, but there's great significance to praying in the name of Jesus. And we'd like to answer the question, what does that mean? The first thing I'd like to show you is that praying in the name of Jesus means that we are reminded of our access to the Father because of the provision of Christ. Because of what Christ did for us on the cross. Because we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, for all of us who have trusted him as our Savior, we now have access to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us that we now have access to the Father through Jesus. And look at this description in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, where this new access to the Father is described through Christ. The writer of Hebrews has been making a big contrast between the priest in the Old Testament and how much far superior is Jesus Christ as our high priest. And he picks up with that thought in verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Watch his conclusion. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. You know the reason why we can boldly approach the throne of grace? It's because Christ our Savior has gone ahead of us, and he now sits at the right hand of our Father. And because he has paved the way, because he has made it possible, because of his death on the cross on our behalf, we now have access to the Father, to the throne of grace. Christ intercedes for us on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. And as he intercedes, he also has great influence with the Father to grant our request. And I'd like to show you that from another passage as well. If you'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. I know I'm asking you to hop around quite a bit with me, but these are foundational verses. We are asking the question, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? We have found that it means it calls to mind our access to God through the provision of Christ. In chapter 14, we find the advantage of Christ's position at the right hand of the Father. In chapter 14 of John, verse 11, read with me, please. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Now notice the emphasis on works. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The first observation I'd like to make from this passage is the advantage to us of Christ's position, that he has gone to the Father. You see, Christ is at a position now where he not only intercedes on our behalf, but he is also influencing the Father to grant our request. In Psalm chapter 2, a messianic psalm looking forward to when Christ sits down on his throne in the kingdom, the Father turns to him and says, ask for me for the nations and I will give them to you. And the Father is seen there inviting the request from Jesus to influence. And that's what Jesus is doing right now at the right hand of the Father, influencing him to grant our request. He is influencing the Lord, our Father, to grant our request. There is another area here we find in this passage. Not only that Christ is playing an influential role from his position, we find that praying in the name of Jesus also means agreeing with his purposes. Do you see that? This emphasis on works. What does Christ want for us? He wants us to work greater works than even he did. He wants us to be about the work of the ministry. He wants us to have impact in the lives of people. And we can do that when we ask him to help us to do that. When we ask in Jesus' name, we agree with his purposes. You know, this is an interesting question to ask. If you were going to sit down and pray, ask God for whatever is going on in your life, since praying in the name of Jesus, it's basically agreeing with his purposes. Ask yourself, if Jesus were kneeling down right beside you and you were able to communicate with him, would he agree to pray the same prayer with you that you're praying when you pray in Jesus' name? What confidence, what assurance from Scripture would you have that if Jesus were praying right beside you, he would be nodding his head and agreeing with you in prayer? See, when you pray in Jesus' name, that's what you're doing. You're praying in a way that agrees with his purposes, that remembers the advantage of this position, that you call to mind your access to God through Christ as your Savior. That's what it means to agree with His purposes. I think of the story of a father who went to the county fair with his several children, and he wanted to go and watch the pig show, but they weren't interested, so he just followed them around as they rode different various rides at the county fair. And he went and bought a roll of tickets, some, I don't know, 50 tickets, and he just kept them in his pocket. And every time one of his children wanted to ride a certain ride, they would just come to him and hold out their hand, and he would place a ticket in their hand. And he did that several times. And one time, several of his children came up, and he gave them a ticket. Then all of a sudden, there was one boy he didn't recognize. Came up to him and held out his hand. And the father looked at him, and he kind of hesitated for a moment, not handing him a ticket. And then one of his sons walked up and said, "It's okay, Dad. This is a friend of mine. You can give him a ticket." And his father anxiously, very quickly, gave him a ticket so he could go and ride a ride. You see, that's a good description of what Christ does for us. Because of our relationship with Christ, he looks to God, to his father, and he says, "It's okay, Dad. This is a friend of mine. You can grant that request. I'm in complete agreement with it. I say yes. I say amen. I think you should do it." That's what Christ does for us. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. See, that's our inside connection. You want to pray effectively? You want to pray with great confidence? You have inside information. You have an inside connection, our relationship with Christ. I'd like to make somewhat of a transition now and ask you, in what ways are you willing to adjust your prayer life in light of the need to bathe your prayer requests with the Word of God? If we're going to pray according to the will of God, we have got to have some encouragement from the Word of God that what we're praying is indeed what God would have for us. You know, it reminds me of a certain guy who was praying, and he was praying in front of the church. And he went on praying for some time. And afterwards, some of the elders came up to him and said, "Son, we're a little concerned about the way you were praying. Some of your theology that came out in your prayer, I'm not sure was quite right. And some of the things that you asked for, I'm not sure was really correct." And the young boy said, "Well, that's okay. I wasn't talking to you." Got a little better response this hour than I did second hour. You know, it's not my desire to stand up here and tell you what to pray. You know, I don't want to step on your toes and tell you what to pray. But you know what? The Word of God does. The Word of God wants to tell you what to pray. You see, the obvious implication is that there are some things that we ask that are outside of the will of God. And the only confidence that we can have in our prayer is when we know we're praying according to the will of God contained in the Word of God. What is one way that we can adjust the way we pray? By asking ourselves this question: what encouragement from Scripture do I have on which to confidently base my prayer request on? You see, if every time you pray for a major area in your life, you should ask yourself, what encouragement from Scripture do I have? Is there a verse that explains one of God's purposes? Is there a principle from Scripture or a promise? Is there a part of God's personality that I can appeal to out of the Word of God on which to base my prayer request on? You know, let's just take an example, okay? Let's say that we need a car, all right? We need a new car. Now, it's very easy to stand up here and give you all kind of wrong reasons for a car. But there are many right reasons to buy a new car, to replace a car that you have. And when we go about praying for that, there are many principles that we can appeal to out of the Word of God. For example, we know that if a car is necessary to maintain our job, if we have to have transportation and we have no other choice but with having a car of our own to keep our job, we have good reason to pray for that car. Because we know from 1 Timothy and from 2 Thessalonians that the person who doesn't work doesn't eat. We know that the person who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. And so we're under obligation to work and provide for our family. And if a car is necessary, based on those principles, we can pray with confidence, God, I need a car. God, I need you to provide a car. You see, there's principles involved with good stewardship in terms of our finances. And if you have a car that you're spending more money monthly just to keep it running than what you would in paying for a better car, then perhaps the wisdom here is to go ahead and buy a new car or a good used car. See, there's many principles. There is possibility opportunities for ministry if you were to have a car. So there's many principles we can appeal to out of the Word of God to add confidence to our prayer request. And so I'd encourage you, one way to adjust your prayer role, your role in prayer life, is to find encouragement from the Word of God. Specific verses, specific passages and principles from God's Word. There's another question I think is good to ask after you've prayed. For what definite response did I pray? Did I pray just for generalization, vague type things? Or am I asking God for something specific? In other words, the third question is, how will I realize when the answer has come? Will I recognize it if my prayer has been answered? One way to pray with confidence is to also ask with specifics. Ask with specifics. Appeal to the Scriptures. Appreciate the access you have through Christ. And ask with specifics. That's what God wants from us. It's interesting that Dallas Seminary, shortly after it was founded in 1924, went through a very crushing time financially. In fact, they received notice one week that they were going to be foreclosed upon at 12 noon on a certain day. And the founders of the seminary met together for prayer in a certain room, praying that God would provide the money. And it so happened that Harry Ironside, one of the founders, was there. And when it came his turn to pray, in his very characteristic way, appealing to Scripture, Psalms, he said, "Lord, we know that you own all the cattle on a thousand hills." Finding encouragement from Scripture. Then he said, "Lord, sell some of them and give us the money." You're not going to believe this, but at the same time, a guy walked into the business office there. A guy from Fort Worth just sold several cattle cars full of cattle. Was trying to make a business deal that didn't work out, so he walked into the seminary and said, "I don't know if you have any need for this money, but I wasn't able to go through with the business deal I wanted, and I just thought maybe the seminary could use it." He handed them the check, and the secretary, knowing the desperation of the time, tapped on the door and gave it to Dr. Chafer, president. And when he opened it up, it was for the exact amount they needed. You see, there is a group who prayed specifically. That's a group that prayed with encouragement from the Word of God. See, God wants us to pray with specifics. He wants us to find encouragement from the Word of God, and we can experience confidence as well. You want to be a good prayer? You need inside information. You need inside connection. And that's what God has graciously given us in Christ. Let's pray. You know, Lord, if we had time, we could go around this room and there would be many who would share incredible victories in prayer from asking you for very specific things, finding great confidence from the Word of God that they are praying according to the will of God. And then, Lord, we know that there would be many others who say, "You know, I've never experienced that. I don't know that type of success in my prayer life." I pray, Lord, that you would teach all of us the promise you made to us that we can have what we ask when we pray according to the will of God. That would become very real to us as you teach us to pray in accordance to the will of God. Help us, Father, to appreciate all that is true because of our relationship with Christ. Thank you, Lord, that even at this moment, He
sits at your right-hand side making intercession for us, influencing you to grant our request, requests that are prayed in His name according to the will of God. And Lord, may You raise up from us a real army of prayer warriors, that we might open our eyes and look above and see way above the nickel and dime things that many of us spend our time praying. Lord, that You're anxious to not only grant those requests, but large and great and mighty things, if we will but come to know You more and more, come to know Your real heart as revealed in Scripture. We thank You for Your great promises. Lord, we especially thank You for the promise that whoever believes in Christ shall never perish but have everlasting life. And I pray for all those who are unsure if they belong to You, Lord, that You would lead them to that one moment in time that while recognizing how sin has separated them from You, that they would place their faith in what Christ has done for them, dying on behalf of their sins. And that they would, like I did at one time, ask Jesus into my life as my Savior, believing that He died for my sins. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.